Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limit on.
What's up, Chicago? That's right. It's about to go down. It's Monday. It's that time. It's where one time.
Hey, no limit.
No limit.
Yeah. It's the hottest radio show in the land. Taking the Limits Off is on the air. That's right. We are on the air, and we are broadcasting, as always, live. That's right. Y'all heard me live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, from the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, man, and I am excited to be here just one more time in the Lord, huh? Y'all come on, act like y'all hear me. One more time in the Lord is going to be a good time, so y'all might as well get ready for it because it's about to go down. I'm excited. Y'all ready for this? What will you chase in 2020? I know y'all, people doing 2020 themes every week and every day, and I'm sure y'all probably want to know what y'all got going on, but what will you chase in 2020 is the question. What will you chase in 2020? That's our conversation for today. My brother, Dr. Bishop Apostle Harold Washington, is on his way. He'll be here shortly to be joining your boy sitting right here in his seat over there. Yes, sir. So he'll be here shortly. But let me give you all the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you are already listening on the line, meaning you've already dialed in, punched in, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land. Latonya Melton is on the other side of the glass. She's going to check you out, and then she'll make sure you go live with us here on the TTLO radio show, Taking the Limits Off Radio. Again, we are broadcasting live from the historic, from the birthplace, Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, man. And I'm just excited again to be here with y'all one more time. Also, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. That's where you can reach us there. Again, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Y'all got it? Got it. One more time, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Amen. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Let us know how you feel about what's going on. Again, email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, that's right, you can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right, TTLO Radio. Just like that right there, TTLO Radio. Tweet the show right there, TTLO Radio. Or if you want to follow us on the gram, right, follow us on Instagram. Real simple, real easy to do. Follow us on the gram. Same thing, TTLO Radio, right? TTLO Radio. I had it sitting up here this whole time. I figured I'd use it. You can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. Real simple, real easy to do. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us on the book. And then that's right, is the live stream up? Is that up and running? Because I don't see nothing. I can't tell. I know it's up, but I don't see nobody saying nothing. So the live stream is up and running, facebook.com/TTLO. There you go. Okay, right. Oh, y'all already in here. Bless the Lord. Amen. facebook.com/TTLO radio is where you can find us there for the live stream. We love watching and listening to you guys' comments. You guys are a part of, we love making you all a part of the TTLO radio show family and the TTLO media group family. As always, don't forget we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can find us on your iHeartRadio app. Just do a simple search on iHeartRadio for Taking the Limits Off Media Group, and not only will you find, you know, that right there. That one right there, TTLO Radio. Not only will you find that, TTLO Radio, but on every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, you'll find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. That will be right there for you. Best, I'm going to tell y'all something. She is an amazing, amazing counselor. You can find her anytime, man. It's the show, again, I keep telling y'all, it is saving people's lives. You have got to check it out when you get a chance. Healthy Soul Talk at 6 o'clock. And matter of fact, tomorrow's topic is going to be great. It is authentic meditation and how it really works. Authentic meditation and how it really works. That's tomorrow's conversation on Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. And then this Thursday is the premiere episode for 2020. This Thursday is the premiere episode of for 2020 of Grindology with Lisette Herndon. Y'all know she's been off since last year, so she's back this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. I don't know what her show topic is about, but as always, I'm sure it will be good. So y'all just come on, man, and get ready, get excited with me. But don't forget, you can also find us on iTunes, you can find us on Spotify, Blogger, Stitcher, and if you can't find us, man, look here, Google us, huh? Come on now. I was on Spotify last night. And I was looking on Spotify, and I said, it always cracks me up when you on Spotify and you see your name pop up on Spotify. That's kind of cool, right? When you see your stuff pop up in iTunes and Spotify and all that. So, you know, even though we've been doing this for 5 years, it's still fresh and new to me, and I still get excited about doing it. But man, look, y'all check this out. So, how was everybody's Sunday service yesterday? Man, look here, we had a time here at the birthplace yesterday. Look, I keep trying to tell y'all got to just come through here one Sunday and just hang out over here at the birthplace, right? Y'all just need to come on through and hang out over here with us at the birthplace on one Sunday morning, man. Look here, let me tell y'all what time. Look, service ended. Look, I looked up. We was given the benediction at 12:27. Huh? Y'all don't hear me. At the 12:27 mark, the now unto him who is able, come on now, to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne with exceeding joy to the only wise God. Yeah, that was at 12:27. Y'all don't hear me. It was a beautiful thing. So look here. Y'all come on by the birthplace, man, and hang out with us, man. We had a powerful, great, great service yesterday. As always, y'all know I always have something funny to tell y'all about service. So, you know, I get here yesterday roughly about 10. Service starts at 10:45. I got here about 10:25, something like, I'm sorry, service starts at 10:45. I got here about 10:25, right? And so, you know, I walk in. And I always come through the side door because I put my stuff in the studio, right? Because y'all know the studio is in the birthplace, right? So I put my stuff in the studio. I'm walking through the door, and I see the pastor sitting back here in the red room. For those of you who came to the party, that's where the party was, right? So it's sitting back here in the Smith Chapel. And I walk in, and I didn't even get my key in my door good. Mr. King. I say, yeah, well, good morning, sir. What's up? And he shook his robe like this. Now, he got his purple robe on yesterday. And if y'all watched our broadcast yesterday, y'all saw I was in the pulpit with no robe on, right? Y'all saw me, right? I ain't had no robe on in the first part of the broadcast. Because, bro, man, I ain't have my robe here. That was my brand new robe, right? Y'all see my robe. It's kind of slick, though. But I was in the pulpit with my robe on. And I'm sorry, I was in the pulpit with my suit on, right? Because, see, when I know I'm going to wear a robe, I wear a different type of suit. I dress differently because of the robe, right? So anyway, I come in and I got my stuff, and my man said, we in robes. Really? That's how you gonna do me? You gonna tell me when I walk in the door we in robes? My robe ain't nowhere to be found. Well, you know, God bless my producer who had my robe, because she had took it and put it up in the cleaners for me, because last time I wore it, the first Sunday I preached in it, which was in December of last year, when I preached in it, it was real hot. So I sweated a little bit, and y'all know y'all boy don't like to sweat. That's really not my deal. So y'all pray for me. But anyway, the robe showed up, and I was able to slide the robe on. So, you know, y'all, if y'all watch the video, y'all will see that the robe was put on a little bit late. I had to go do my Superman change in the back to put the robe on. But anyway, my point was, the point that I tell y'all, that y'all missed a great sermon yesterday, right? Sermon was titled, "Oh God," I'm finna mess this up real quick. Is Patricia Butts on here? Pat, help me out. Something. Oh, wait. No. Your future. Where's my iPad? Your future is calling. See? Got it. Your future is calling. That was yesterday's sermon, right? Your future is calling. Came out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, I think the first 5 verses, right? Your future is calling, man. Powerful sermon. Amazing word, man. And pretty much just dealing with the fact about not being stuck in the past and not being stuck on those things that, you know, that are behind you. And a lot of times when God allows certain people to take you to a certain place, right? Like Moses was only allowed to take people to a certain place, and then Joshua had to take them to the next place, right? So there's nothing wrong with celebrating. Watch this. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. There's one thing to celebrate the dead. It's another thing to worship the dead. Y'all missed it. That's going to touch somebody later. It's one thing to celebrate the dead. It's another thing to worship the dead. And what the sermon focused on was not being caught up in dead things, right? You can celebrate them. It's just like, I know this is a touchy subject, but I give a very good example, right? People who've lost parents, loved ones, brothers, sisters, you know, spouses and everything, nobody can tell you how long to mourn, right? Nobody can tell you how long to mourn, right? But at some point, you have to go forward with your life, right? Amen? Ain't nobody going to say nothing? That's all right. You got to go. If y'all saying something, I can't see nothing, no way. But at some point, you have to go forward with your life, right? Because otherwise, if you're not going to move forward, and when that person dies, you die too, then you know, please forgive me. Y'all know my mind is bad, but you might as well have climbed over in the grave at the burial site and let them push the dirt in on you too. I'm just trying to help the people. When you get to a point where mourning is fine and you absolutely should mourn, right? And I'm not telling anybody how long they can or should not mourn, right? But at some point, you have to live your life. I wish Pastor Washington was here. I know he probably finna be pulling up in a minute. I'm waiting on this real loud doorbell to ring. I'm hoping I see him on my phone before he gets to the doorbell. But I'm serious, man. We got to learn how to recognize that there's no, you know, you can mourn those people that we've lost and those great leaders of the time. Like even this year, right? Even in 2019. I'm sorry, last year. We lost so many powerful members of the ministry, right? We lost a lot of powerful members of the ministry last year, right? But those churches have to move forward. Those churches have to move forward, right? I'm quite sure when Charles Jenkins announced his retirement from fellowship, right, and he had Reginald Sharp Jr., the new pastor in place, right? I'm sure they weren't thinking that in the midst of the process, they were going to have to bury the founder of the church. The organizer. I don't like using the term founder. I'm funny about the term founder because you ain't found nothing. It's Jesus' church. Y'all know how my brain works. I'm not the organizer. I'm sure in the transition process that the planning out of that funeral was not something that they were looking, that they were thinking a year ago when he was getting ready to retire. Right? But yet and still, fellowship has to move forward. Come on now. Fellowship has to move forward. Any of your churches, and so many of our churches, are not prepared to move forward. They're not prepared to move forward because you know why? Because they're built on a leader and not on the word. When your church is built on one particular figure, when that person dies, if he or she has not set up a plan, your church is in trouble. Your church is in trouble. And I speak that to you from a real place because I've been there. I've been there. Y'all know I've shared it with you all many times. When my former church, I say my home church. Former sounds, you know, so formal. But my home church, Kingdom, right? Because Ebenezer is where I'm now a member. That's my new church. But my former church, home, you know, previous church, Kingdom, Missionary Baptist Church, when the late James Horton closed his eyes, Kingdom did not have a plan, right? They didn't have a plan in place. So the whole church went up in disarray. All right, listen, what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. See, this is why I got to have somebody on staff in studio with me so I can get them to get the dough, because I'm talking good, but now I got to go get this dough, right? So, all right, let me do this. Let me give y'all some of this real quick, and then we're going to continue this conversation because this is good, right? This is getting good. Let me do this right here. Let me get out some of this. This is my boy Fred Wilson. I can feel him moving. Be right back, y'all. Yellow.
Whenever I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, somebody always asks me, how do you know he's real? You can't see it. You can't feel it. He's intangible. You ask me how I know he's real. I can feel it down in my soul. Whenever somebody asks, how do you know he's real? Somebody always tells me, you don't believe God's real. They say you can't see it. You can't feel it.
Anyway, we're having this real good discussion about church leadership. They can hear you. You probably can't hear me, but they can hear you.
I can hear you,
so they can hear you.
Because I couldn't hear nothing.
Okay, what about now?
I still can't hear nothing.
Oh, but they can hear you.
They can hear me.
Yeah, let me fix your mic. Anyway, let me ask you this. This was the question I put out. The question I started talking about. Church is having a plan in place when the church is built on a pastor and not on the word of God. And when that pastor leaves,
then the church goes.
The church is in disarray.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that for a minute while I get you some sound?
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's a lot of churches, man, that are strictly built on the pastor themselves. If the pastor ain't preaching, the people don't want to hear the other preachers. If the pastor ain't there, the church would be empty. If they know the pastor is gone, the church won't have nobody to show up for service. So my thing is this. We shouldn't be built. The church shouldn't be only looking for the pastor for everything. It should also be, you know, the other ministers and everything. But you try to put other people up front. You try to get other people to be able to preach the word and, you know, other folks receive it. But when I say people get caught and bent out on one voice, they get caught and bent out on one voice. I've seen a lot of churches, especially some of the older churches, when the pastor either passed or you know, retired or whatever, a lot of churches went down. Mm-hmm. A lot of them closed their doors. Some even closed their doors, just to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, and that comes from, that really comes from, I believe, that they don't teach the members. They don't teach the members how to receive others. Yeah, because they do all the preaching. They do everything.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And then you good?
Yeah, okay. Yep, I can hear a little bit.
Okay, a little bit.
You see? Yeah, a little bit. All right, that's better, much better.
Okay, we'll figure all that out. Yeah, we you see I got cords everywhere.
Yeah,
my guy was in here helping me work some stuff out.
Okay.
So, but yeah, man, this the reason I said that is because I was talking about Pastor Person's sermon from Sunday.
Okay.
Because he talked about because I just that quick I forgot the title. Something about the future. Y'all see just that quick, my mind is bad, real bad. Your future is calling you.
Okay.
Your future is calling you.
Okay.
And he talked about, and he used Joshua 1 where it says, Moses, your servant is dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go forward.
Absolutely.
And my statement was, you know, it's okay to celebrate the dead.
Right.
But not worship the dead.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I also use the term, I said terminology about, you know, we can't tell people how long to mourn.
Absolutely.
But at some point, you can't stay with that
with
person
mourning.
With mourning.
Yeah.
Because that person wouldn't want you to stay there.
Absolutely not.
Come on now.
Because where they at is better than where we at. And they not mourning.
See, now you talking good now.
They glad to be over there with Jesus.
Come, especially the ones that, right.
That actually live the lifestyle to get there.
Come on, so.
Now, the ones that might not be.
Straight
happy
there.
Where they at. A
little warm.
Yeah,
warm,
you know.
A little warm.
It was the lifestyle that they lived to get them where they are.
Right. So again, my question for that was, and I was using fellowship as my jump off point.
Absolutely.
Because fellowship with you know, I'm sure during the transition, and I said this right before you got to the door,
uh-huh.
was that I'm sure a year ago when Jenkins announced his retirement, they weren't thinking about also not only a transition, but then also losing the original organizer
right,
of the church,
right.
Clay Evans passing
absolutely.
Off, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But the church fellowship itself still has to go forward.
Absolutely.
Right.
It don't stop because the pastor not there. It don't stop because of that.
Right. Absolutely not.
It continues to go.
Mm-hmm.
And any good pastor would make sure that he takes his time at transitioning the ministry.
Yeah.
To the next leader.
Yeah, and I was talking about that with my heart. And I said that because this is a personal experience for me.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it's kind of twice. Because while I was at Kingdom, when James Horton passed away,
okay,
you know, he went to the hospital and just never came home.
Oh, wow.
And you know, he had never been out of the pulpit ever. And Pastor, and the Pastor Emeritus now, Tab Miller, who's still there,
okay,
he was not even his assistant because... You know, most people don't know this. I know funny about it, but Baptist churches don't really have assistant pastors.
Nah.
Because two reasons. First of all, that's another paycheck you got to
cut out.
That's more payroll. And then that's just not it because, you know, that pastor position, people are funny acting about that position.
Especially don't we know
traditionally.
It? Don't we know it?
Right. Traditionally, you wasn't going to have no assistant pastor.
No.
Right. So
you got ministers.
You got associate ministers.
Right.
Or not, you know, they upgrade them a little bit, call them associate pastors.
Right.
But you got associate ministers.
Right.
And they get relegated to duty or whatever that is, or whatever. But there's only one pastor. Right.
Yep.
So people try not to even use that terminology. So Reverend Tab Miller was he was the associate minister. Mind you, he was there when my grandfather organized.
Okay.
He helped him organize.
Okay.
But he never had the title assistant pastor. So when he passed away, that left Tab Miller as the only person in the pulpit.
Wow.
So they still went and did the whole search and did all that stuff, right? Even though certain people wanted a Tab Miller, they just thought that because of his faithfulness.
Okay.
Not necessarily because he was a good pastor.
Okay.
Or because he was a good teacher.
Right.
None of those issues.
Right.
But because they just thought because he had been there. So they went through the search committee. You know, I ain't finna tell all their business, but you know, they went through the process. He still ended up being pastor.
Okay.
You know, during that time. But again, nobody was put in place. Nothing was set up. Same thing happened again with them, again and again, because they never
put
anything in place.
Nobody to
right.
be in case, like a vice president and a president.
That is the purpose.
Right.
And then the church, at least with that, if you have that level of consistency.
Right.
Right. Something happens, the church can still say, you know what, we're going to, even if it's on an interim basis
right.
or whatever, we're going to go with you and until to steer the ship.
Right.
Right?
Because somebody got to steer it. Somebody got to be behind the wheel.
Because the biggest problem churches make is when they put unqualified people at steer of the ship,
okay.
i.e. deacons and trustees. And those people were
right.
never meant.
Right.
They weren't called. They don't.
So what do you think about the churches that you know I'm about to go to?
Go ahead, come on.
The churches that make their wife the assistant pastor.
I think that's a problem.
I mean, I said the same thing.
Now.
It ended up working out down at Bishop Eddie Long Church.
Now, if the wife has a call to, is called to
preach,
right? If the wife is called to preach and she is diligent of the word, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying nobody can't preach and teach, right?
Right.
I'm not. So please don't nobody tell me I'm anti-woman preacher because I'm not.
Right.
Now,
and we're not talking against women preachers or pastors.
Not at all.
I'm saying when people set up churches,
right,
and it's the pastor,
right,
and then his wife.
Something happened to him.
Right. And then, you know, that's what I'm saying.
No, I have I think that's an issue only because I'll say it this way. Churches hire pastors. They don't hire
pastors' wives.
First ladies.
Absolutely.
Whatever y'all choose to call them.
I say pastors' wives.
Or leading lady.
Right.
I don't even like the term first lady.
I don't like the term leading.
I don't mind leading lady.
My wife was called, we just call her lady.
Oh, even that. Right.
Right.
Because she ain't my first lady.
Right.
Right, because how I'm going to be married and calling your wife first lady?
Yeah.
Because if I'm looking at, because I know how I would feel if it was in the reverse.
Absolutely.
And I was the pastor's husband.
Right.
And she calling somebody else calling them the first man. Be like,
right.
No, you ain't.
Absolutely.
We took that political stuff and twisted it up a little bit. So
yeah.
Anyway, I was just thinking about that, man, how a lot of times moving forward, we cause ourselves a lot more grief by not having
stuff in place.
I remember my former pastor, Ray Williams, in one of the business meetings. And I guess, I don't know if he was ready. This was maybe 2 years before he announced he was retiring.
Okay.
He mentioned succession plan.
Okay.
And folks lost their mind. They looked at him like he was crazy. Because instantly, the power brokers in the church started saying, no, you ain't setting up no succession plan.
Ah.
Yeah, you ain't. Who told you you can? Yeah. If something happened to you, we got this.
Huh?
Yeah, they got beside themselves. All he did was say the word.
Succession plan.
And they lost their freaking mind.
But that sounds like people to me. That sounds like, because okay, everybody want to be in charge of something that
they
ain't in charge of.
And you ain't gonna choose for us.
Right.
Right. So it takes strong leadership to be able to just come out and put that in place. And then your leaders have to buy into it. If your leaders don't buy into it, you're going to have a problem.
That's true.
Yeah, if your leaders don't buy into it, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's
right. Let me read some of these comments. Let's see here. Angela says.
Y'all better stop.
Oh, that's the problem with my church where I grew up and was really taught how to teach, et cetera. As of today, they don't have a successor. It's sad. It's like Greater Bethlehem. Church will die when Pastor Garvin leaves. It's unacceptable. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know Pastor Person was on here. Dale Person. Supposedly he's coming on the show, man,
okay,
at some point. So one Monday, he's going to be sitting in between two of us on one Monday.
Hey, I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
We'll see. Yeah, because he told me after the installation, which was, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That he,
yeah.
Okay.
Right, uh-huh. That was last October.
And right. It's now almost over.
Patricia Butt says people want to be in charge who are woefully unprepared.
And that's true too.
That's so true.
Everybody want to be in charge, but nobody understands what it takes to run the seat.
No. And this is I was recommended this book. What's up, Leandra Hill? And Vernon D. Williams. God bless y'all, man. I'm sorry if I didn't speak to everybody. I'm just seeing the names coming up now because they weren't before, man. All I saw was a bunch of people, but no names.
Yep.
And if y'all have a problem with y'all Facebook audio, that's y'all. That's not us. Just want y'all to know that because I got my other set of audio running right here, and it's good and clear, and my producer on the other end, and she ain't told me about no problem. So.
And I just had the volume.
You had the volume.
Right.
Yeah, I heard your volume, so
yeah.
We good. So y'all need to do a refresh on y'all's PCs and phones and tablets and all that good stuff. People being unprepared, man, to lead. And you know what's interesting? I've said this before, and I don't want, and I'm not beating up the church. So please, people, don't come.
Absolutely,
we're having a conversation.
That's it.
These are the conversations
that should be had in the church.
That should be had in the church.
Absolutely.
And then y'all won't be so quick to fight.
Absolutely,
right? But you know, you have a lot of people in charge in church that have never been in charge anywhere,
and they take that to the extreme.
And that church power.
That's some strong power.
Look here, they think it is.
Yeah, I know, but they don't know who's really in power. I already know.
Look here.
You can't run guys out.
Look here. That church power, Negroes.
Won't they do it?
Will get, man, look here. I've seen some of the most meek Negroes.
Until?
Become Caesar.
I know.
Because, see, I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I'm gonna say it, y'all get mad, whatever. You can't. I seen deacons take over the pastor's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the recliner watching TV.
Yeah, like they
laid up.
Like they were pastors.
Yes.
And that's unacceptable.
You first of all, you wouldn't do it when you had one. That office should be off limits.
Period.
Right? One of the things I respected here when I got here, they showed me where the office was and everything, but that door stayed locked.
There it is. They want to make sure you knew where it was.
Yeah.
But not to be in it.
We used to gather in there in the morning because it was a little conference room table and everything down there. So myself and the other preachers that were helping out at the beginning, that's where we would gather.
Okay.
And at some point, they was like, y'all can't go back down there no more. I'm like, I didn't care.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Matter of fact, I didn't even know it was an office in there. We sat at the table. I didn't even realize behind the wall was the office. So anyway, you know, but people, man, they get that power and lose their whole mind.
Listen, after I started Faith Works and Vision, I had a couple people ask me, are you going to make your wife the assistant pastor?
See.
And the first thing I said, God didn't call my wife to pastor Faith Works and Vision. He called me. That's my wife. That's not the assistant pastor.
Just like churches that hire pastors, they hire you. They don't hire your wife.
Your wife, absolutely.
Now, if your wife running it at your house.
That's at your house.
That's at your house.
But not in God's house.
But she don't come here and make, that's just not, first of all, it ain't biblical, but that's a whole nother
thing.
I don't want to get no trouble.
And again, we are not talking against women pastors. I'm talking about the setup, how people set up their churches so that if anything was to happen to the pastor, that they still maintain control.
Now, Angela says, I'm assuming she meant pastor, not parent. I am not a co-pastor, so I don't co-pastor. But here is what you can't do. We can't ask certain orgs to follow the Baptist procedures. And I would gladly turn over our church to one of our ministers and whoever God would ordain to stand in the pastor's stead.
Amen.
Amen. And that's fine.
That's why I said I loved Bishop Eddie Long's wife at New Birth.
Right.
She put out, even though I'm still here, I got to find the person that needs to be here.
Right. And then with Angela is she says operationally she handles the church.
But she's also in ministry though.
Right. Totally different. But they pastor together.
Together, absolutely.
Right. Because I think they started the church.
Absolutely.
Together.
That's totally different.
Exactly.
So because she is a pastor preacher.
She is a pastor preacher.
That's different.
That is different. All of a sudden you get married, all of a sudden you all of a sudden your wife's sitting in the pool. Y'all got the table
in between y'all.
Y'all got the table in between y'all and, you know, y'all sitting up there like Prince Charles and Lady Diana.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's just, you're doing too much, man.
Absolutely.
You're doing too much. Absolutely. You look all ginormous. And that's the live, and this is the 30 seconds late.
Because that actually, if you notice, it's spread out. You see this right here? This is cropped.
But it ain't cropped for the people. Because this is what the people see.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a crop.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. All right. let's see. Felicia says, I love John Hanna's wife. I've heard her speak on many panels, but she is not a co-pastor.
Right. Amen.
She could be Minister Hannah or whatever.
Evangelist, minister.
Right. Right. And again, we're not talking against women preachers
at all.
We're not.
Or pastors.
Right. And I'm not. And so we clear.
Right.
And I know I'm. I believe God can use anybody to lead.
Absolutely.
Right? I believe God can use anybody to lead, but I also believe there is divine order.
Amen.
Right? And I believe that even a woman who is called to pastor needs a covering.
That's it.
I do believe that.
Period.
Yeah. I have a hard time because who are you who are you obedient to? And don't just holler God. Please don't.
Because so many people holler it so fast.
I'm obedient to God. I don't need no man. I'm obedient to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Park say he would get suspended on this subject.
I'm sure you would, Pastor Park. And look, the reason why I asked that is because I went to a church, a lady apostle, who was her church was in the garage. They put filler in the walls and got drywall up there, and she had a pulpit that she put against the back. And it was about maybe 25 chairs on the front end, and she had a piano man and a drum and everything.
Okay.
And I had asked, you know, who was a pastor. And she was, I'm my pastor.
That in itself is amazing to me.
But hold on, this is the part that got me.
You got me already, but go ahead.
So I understand that, you know, the speaking of the tongues comes.
Yes.
But I do not believe that somebody can literally stand the entire time at the pulpit
and speak in tongues.
And speak in tongues
with no interpreter.
And in between each one of the texts.
Oh, no. So she's literally saying, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth.
And going forward and then come back.
Oh.
And I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm waiting for the show to be over.
See, now Eula Ott said, so you mean the spouse and the grandbabies can't inherit the church? See that? My God. Oh, Jesus. I know this is touchy. I don't mean no harm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. This is the right conversation because you know me. I'm the one that love to talk about the stuff that needs to be talked about.
It's unfortunate.
What Park say?
Park say only they've been called a teaching pastor.
Amen.
But I don't even like the term inherit.
Because this ain't a house.
Now,
this God's
now,
house.
Now, biblically, Moses had set Joshua up as leader.
Well, he set him up, but it was really how he followed him.
Right, he followed.
But God chose.
Right, but people saw how Joshua followed Moses.
That's what it was.
So when Moses died, if there was any whispering or murmuring, people looked automatically to Joshua.
Absolutely.
Because they had saw Joshua standing right behind.
Absolutely.
Or beside Moses.
Absolutely.
So there was no, so I'm sure there was some whisper.
Right. I mean, it's always going to be that. Because everybody ain't going to agree with it.
Because you know the folks that was following Moses was Baptist. I'm going to get in so much trouble. But the folks that was following Moses was Baptist. You know they were. You know they were.
Yeah.
There was some, and they was Negro. I know we want to say they were Israelites, but look, they were Negroes.
Absolutely.
And them Negroes probably said, Moses dead. Look here, man. Look. You could be in charge of them.
But look what they did with Aaron.
Exactly. You see how they kept.
They're going to bring all the gold.
How they hemmed him up.
Yeah.
When Moses was just gone.
Gone. He wasn't even dead.
He wasn't dead. And the deacons, see them.
The ones that sit down, they sit low and look high.
The deacons. Moses done went.
I'm glad I got the right deacons.
Moses done went to get the book.
Yeah.
And these Negroes done had a meeting. While Moses, I could preach this. These Negroes.
I'm trying to tell you. I stay away from some stuff right now because I know the young church mind that I got.
Oh, you be the.
They
ain't ready.
They ain't ready for everything.
Next year.
Yeah.
Preach it next year.
Yeah.
Just make a note.
Yes,
I would look at them. I mean, them Negroes call a meeting. Moses up here trying to get the good stuff,
right?
And y'all down here having a meeting talking about some who in charge.
Yeah. That takes me even to the to the disciples. Who's the greatest?
Exactly. See,
you mean who the greatest?
Right. See, foolishness.
You worried about something that. If it's about the kingdom, ain't no such thing.
Jasmine Jackson says, so you mean, Park say I'm on my Jasmine Jackson say, so you mean it ain't a family business? pastor and his male family members are the ministers and the aunts are over the other auxiliaries.
No.
Ooh. Yeah, see, that's,
that ain't a church. That's a business.
That's touchy, too.
Yeah.
That's touchy, too. Called the meeting and getting ready to vote. Right, they was. They, yeah. They were. Moses was gone. They,
absolutely.
He had already been fired.
Absolutely.
He didn't even know.
He didn't even know it.
That's why when he threw them tablets.
And got mad and threw
yeah. the tablets down there and broke up everything. Calf and a few of them Negroes that was hanging
That was
all them deacons.
And look how God looked at them.
All the deacons got swallowed up. I know I'm going to mess some face of deacons.
Hey,
man.
I'm so glad I got the right deacons at my church, man.
I stay on the bad side of deacons. It's all right. Because I, you know what? Because I'm going to tell you like this. I remember. And yes, we're going to get on our, we're going to do the article. What will you chase in 2020? We will.
Yep.
I during a Bible study, somebody asked me, and this is what they were doing. So, you know, we were in the process. We hadn't started the search yet.
Uh-huh.
So we were in the process. So I was still teaching Bible study every Wednesday. And what happened was somebody asked me something, and I should have known. It was a trick. It was a test, really.
You already know that.
But I wasn't ready. Because see, when you test me, my response is gonna give you what the Bible says.
Right.
But so the Bible says something about it's not always expedient.
Right.
To
so you ain't supposed to just speak because
you're right.
You
ain't got to always.
Absolutely.
You know. But see, that ain't where my
your mind set up.
2.5 years, 3 years ago, my mind didn't work that way. You coming me the wrong?
I'm coming right back.
I'm hitting you with this. The Bible say? and they challenged me on authority. And I said, well, not one deacon in the Bible was ever in charge of the church.
Because it didn't say that.
The Bible never gave, God never gave deacons the authority.
Right.
I said, and then I looked them in the face. And then I knew I got myself trouble. I looked him right in his face. I said, your real job is to take care of the widows, the orphans, and serve tables. That's your real job. Running the church was never
your job.
Yeah, that was. I was probably done after that. It was,
I'm sure they were saying.
They probably got the checkbox.
I already. You know they had a sidebar meeting while you were in
prayer. They did. They tried to get. Yeah, they tried.
I already knew. They would say, yeah, he ain't gonna make it. He ain't gonna make it
because you know. And then, I did this whole research on. When churches went from deacon ministry to deacon board, and that's when they got in trouble.
Yeah,
because see, deacon ministry says ministry, deacon board says authority.
Absolutely.
And a board, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now you a board. Yeah. Now it's now, all of y'all
against me,
against the pastor. See what I'm saying? Come on now, that's no deacon ministry.
That is.
And so yeah, I did a long study on it, man, and put all this stuff together. I actually did a paper on it when I was finishing my master's degree.
Okay.
I did a paper on it, man, and it was like, and you talk about controversial. They was looking at me real crazy, but I stood firm on what the Bible said,
okay.
Right? As far as what deacons and how the terminology got switched around and how we started putting people in place, and deacons took charge because you know instead of them, you know you don't really have those issues in white churches.
Well, you would never have that in because they already know who got the authority around now, and he don't have to overexert his authority. To get nobody to do nothing, they do it because they came to do God's business and not their own personal business.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we get our folk in the church
mm-hmm.
that was losers in high school,
come on,
they got bullied, always laugh,
short
about and ridicule,
short.
You put them in, and you just bring them in the dough.
Come on,
and as soon as they felt like, you know what, I ain't the same person no more.
Yeah,
they get courageous and want to start.
Yeah,
bullying folk and running their mouth when they should be holding silent.
Yeah, yeah.
And they start doing too much.
Yeah, I love my former pastor, my former pastor Ray Williams. But I told him when he left, after everything started going downhill after he left, and we had a conversation over the phone.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, I know me and you had our differences, you know, whatever. I said, but. The biggest mistake you made, I said, wasn't leaving. It was when you left, you made it a point to stand up in front of the church and you called the deacon board up to the front of the church and you said the deacon board is in charge of the church.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
I told him that. I said that you set the church on a spiral that almost got us split again.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if he had done it and said, I'm going to if you want to give it to somebody,
right,
you should have had somebody that was on the deacon board that was close enough to you say, I'm going to entrust you,
right,
not y'all,
right. And then that did, yeah. So that is just, oh my God, it's crazy. I'm gonna let it go. Anita Cross says, my church consists of ministries only. The only boards in Canaan Community Church are two cutting boards in my kids.
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Is that the only board? The two that's in your kitchen? I got you. I got you.
Look at God.
Yes,
I know that's right. I know that's right. Man, that blessed me.
God.
She said, no full gospel, no word. Just
or faith. Yep.
Yeah, them folk. Yeah, I know what it was.
Absolutely.
I know what it was. What's up, Dr. Darius Brooks? I see you on here. Reggie Finley, what's up, man? so, yeah, man, I just it's just interesting when you talk about moving forward. And again, we were talking about with the sermon. What you preach about yesterday?
So I started my new series.
Okay.
It's going to be a three-week series.
Three-week series.
Yesterday, it's called The Birthing Process.
I saw your notes.
Right.
I saw your, yeah.
So yesterday was the sound.
The sound, yeah.
And one of my points was.
Come on.
This here.
I got happy when I read it. Now, come on.
Have you ever noticed that when you're reading something,
mm-hmm.
you always go back, you be like, wait a minute, let me read that out loud. And it's not until you read it out loud that you get it.
Say it.
It needs a sound. Everything that you see still needs sound.
Come on, sir.
You can't have vision
Come on, sir.
Without hearing sound.
Come on, sir.
You don't go to the movies to watch what happened. You go to watch and what? Hear.
Come on, sir.
So the Bible says that he heard the Lord say,
yeah.
write the vision and make it plain.
Come on.
It started first with sound.
Come on.
He didn't say what? He didn't be quiet and point, write the vision and make it plain. He said with his mouth, write the vision. Make it plain. Write the vision on the table and make it plain. Why? Because you need to know that what you see, you also need to hear in order for you to move.
Yeah.
So yesterday.
That's good.
Was the sound.
That thing
and
is
this
preachable.
Sunday.
That's preachable right there.
We're doing labor pains because when you're in the process, it don't feel good.
Oh, hell no. Mm-mm. Come on. Talk good now.
And not only does it not feel good, it's uncomfortable.
Oh, God.
It takes you out of a state of comfortability.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And when you're uncomfortable,
yes,
you
sir.
Start doubting the stuff that you're doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And watch this. I'm finna tag team on this thing with you. You want to make it stop.
Don't you?
You want to go back and
where,
say,
where it felt good.
And say, I changed my mind.
Absolutely. But once you're pregnant, you can't get unpregnant until you have the baby.
Ooh,
come on, somebody.
I got that. That's I don't know when my preaching assignment is
uh-huh.
yet in 2020.
Uh-huh.
But I've been working on something about not turning back.
Okay.
And because you start seeing some stuff that looks uncomfortable.
Okay.
You decide you want to go back the other direction.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm still playing with the title, but yeah, that's, oh God, that's rich, man.
Amen.
Them labor pains.
It's labor pain. Yeah. Nobody likes that when they're laboring, it hurts.
Yeah. Come on now. That's good.
When you labor, it does hurt.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to feel good.
Come on, sir.
But
Come
what
on.
Comes after the labor pain,
yeah.
when it comes down to the actual delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the part where you get what you've been waiting on.
Come on.
But it took you something to get there.
You had to go through something.
Okay, then.
Come on now. Oh, God, that's
I
rich.
Can't wait to preach the other part, son.
That's rich. I'm going to have to sneak over back over in there because y'all be still in praise and worship when we get out. I'm going to have to. Sneak back over in faith, work, and vision.
Amen.
But that's on the way to my mama's house, so I could just hop on over there real quick.
You know, I just thank God right now the way that, and for all of you
mm-hmm.
that are listeners out there and all the people that's watching us and that's streaming, you are my biggest supporters because every week between 5 to 10 visitors show up
because that's awesome.
They watch me
that's awesome.
On Facebook.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. And that's the thing that I have tried to tell any people you have got to take advantage of this
social media
stuff.
I promise you.
And between you coming here, mm-hmm. and then you started doing Kitchen Chronicles outside
yep.
of here,
yep.
and then just the occasional pop-ons here and there. And now what happens is this. You don't have to do the occasional pop-ons because people will show up. Oh, it's Monday. He going to be on here.
Absolutely.
Tuesday, he doing Kitchen.
Okay. Absolutely.
We know where he at.
Right.
And if you pop on, great.
Absolutely.
You know, something you got to say, but you ain't got to always be on. See, some people spend too much time on that.
On that.
I stopped getting on. Once this thing took off, you rarely see me do a pop-on.
Absolutely. And you see, I keep mine really minimized
yeah.
to Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
To bring everybody in on
everybody,
Tuesday.
Everybody's going to come on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
So I think, man, it's one of those things where churches have to be ready for the move.
Absolutely.
Right, and ready to move ahead and take advantage of these amazing tools that God has allowed us to create, that God has allowed us to create.
He
right.
allowed us to create it, and
yeah.
then now he's allowed us to use what we've created
yeah.
to get his gospel out.
For his glory.
Absolutely.
Instead of the other folk that have been getting glory from.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because see, you know, I tell people all the time, when the church was fighting the internet, when the church was fighting against the internet,
mm-hmm.
the porn industry was saying, we'll take it.
See what I'm saying?
Huh?
See what I'm saying?
Huh? When the church was fighting the internet, the porn industry said, you know what? We'll do it.
Yep.
And I can tell you right now, if you Google Christian websites versus porn websites, the porn websites will win out.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably triple and double the amount of Christian websites.
Maybe quadruple.
But it,
because you get stuff that come in your email that you haven't even subscribed.
Running laps.
Yeah.
Right? And we fought it with radio.
Yeah.
We fought it with television.
Come on.
We fought it with all of those things, and when we could have got in when it was cheap.
Now we got to pay top dollar
right?
to get in.
Well, we could have purchased a network when it was cheap.
Yep.
Right? Now you have networks like the Word Network that's
yeah.
all on the brink of almost going out of business.
Yeah.
You got to own – there is no – you know, you got a handful of gospel radio stations. Kirk Franklin, I guess, bought into Sirius Radio or whatever, which is the channel, which
yeah.
is why he – why that's now called Kirk Franklin's Gospel.
That's it.
But you know, other than that, you don't have a lot of – you have local gospel stations, but
and
you don't have
many.
A lot. It ain't many.
Yeah.
Right now, thank God for places like iHeartRadio that you can listen to gospel music from anywhere.
In high def.
In high def.
Yeah.
But other than that, you stuck with AM radio.
AM radio, and you sitting there waiting to hear that.
Right. Because 1390 still sound like 1390.
Yeah, it don't sound like FM radio. And sometimes that's why I don't listen to it, because I want to hear that clarity.
And 1390 been on for years.
Yeah.
And still sound, because it's on AM.
Yep.
Truth be told, there's no reason
why
1390
should
be on AM.
Yeah. They should be on FM.
1390 should be just as big as V103. They're
yeah.
all owned by the same folks.
Yeah.
1390 should be as big as GCI, B96, 92.3,
absolutely.
106.3. What's the other one?
They got the 103.5. I heard
that
now.
One. Yeah,
yeah.
It should be right there.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it, but because you don't have, and again, I blame us
because we don't support it the way we're supposed
we
to.
We don't back our stuff. We don't back our stuff. I Pastor Person made a comment yesterday in the during the observations. He was talking about ministries having putting their books, their stuff on the calendar.
Okay.
And he was like, if y'all don't show up for your own stuff, right, you won't show up and support the ministries in your own church.
Say that again.
Come on now. You won't show up and support your own mission, your own church.
I need you to say that one more time
you
for
won't
the people in the back row.
In the back row, on the couch.
Yeah.
Right. You won't show up and support your own stuff in your church,
mm-hmm.
but want them to come to yours when your ministry doing something.
Come on.
Yeah. I've always had a problem with that.
We already don't have many evening programs
yeah.
ever at all.
But I understand that, though. You have to be – because, first of all, there's evening programs everywhere.
Right.
Right? What I didn't even recognize was the night we had the concert.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of stuff going on.
That was also –
I had three invites to three other things,
that was,
one of them was a concert.
That was Jenkins last night at the ship.
Yeah.
That didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah.
But, see, we changed our date anyway. So, it didn't even dawn on me. I'm like, I know the ship was packed.
Oh, yeah, it was packed.
Because that was his last night
yeah.
at the ship.
Yeah.
You know, for that 7 o'clock broadcast.
Yeah.
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 And people said, I'm getting there early so I can get a seat.
Hmm. But the crowd over here, though.
Yeah, we had,
this was still an awesome
crowd.
Oh,
no, I'm not even tripping on. I'm just saying you have to, if you're going to do a program.
Right. You have to be aware of everything else that's going on.
If you got 300, 300, 400, if you, I wouldn't even say that. Say you got 80 active members in your church.
Right.
And y'all do a program. I expect 55 of my people to show up.
Okay, so you expect 55. I expect, because I don't do it that often.
You expect all yours, yours.
Why not? This your church. It's your church.
You're right, though. You're right.
This ain't my church.
I ain't mad at you.
This is your church.
Right. You right. This ain't, I don't do this by myself.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Y'all show up,
I
show up.
Yeah.
We show up for the same cause.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a program, it's not that just, well, Pastor. No, Pastor don't give us that many things to do past 12:30 service.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't give much to do past 12:30 service,
mm-hmm.
I expect all of us to be here for all of the services that we do have.
Yeah, yeah.
Now watch this, because this way it's gonna get tricky.
Okay.
When the church get to a point where you got 2-3 services because you gotta accommodate all the people.
Yeah.
Now folk gonna be mad because they can't come to church to get the seat they used to sit in.
Come on, sir.
So
come
you
on.
Can't. I've learned this one thing being mm-hmm. a pastor.
Uh huh.
You can't please
everybody.
Everybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I learned that in I tell people all the time, I remember going through interview process and all that, people talked about experience, and I said my corporate experience is what let me understand that you can't please everybody all the time, being a manager, trying to make everybody happy.
And you can't.
Messing around, trying to give everybody the schedule they want, and you look around, ain't nobody at work.
Come on.
and then I'm realizing I'm working harder. Hold on. This ain't the way this supposed to work.
Come on.
This ain't the way it's supposed to work. I served my time where you at.
And now it's your time to serve like
right,
I serve.
Right, right. Why am I working harder? Because I didn't give you the schedule you wanted.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. See.
And this is another back end to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe, because like I'm not on salary.
Okay.
So the church gives me
love offering.
It, you know, once a month, mm-hmm. they just started that this year. So they decided to give
you told me that.
They decided right. to give me a love offer.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned about people is they will look at what you have.
Yep. And say you don't need.
But watch this.
Yep.
You don't know what I do.
Exactly.
To get what I got.
Exactly.
And what I do to maintain what
exactly.
I got.
Exactly.
Because you don't know all the sleepless days that I have.
They assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you pulling up in a brand new truck,
yeah,
you pulling up in or Beamer or whatever, you pulling up, you wearing this, you wearing, they're gonna assume whatever it is, right?
Right.
And then what they could give, they don't give.
Yep.
Right. And that's true, especially our people.
I went to a church,
especially our people,
that was mm-hmm. Caucasian,
uh-huh.
And they raised
yep.
the pastor offering.
Yep.
When I tell you, and this was in Iowa, because I used to go to Oakwood in Iowa.
Okay, okay.
And it's a white church that has a mixed
okay.
congregation. They got Chinese, they got Italian, they got black, they got white, they got college students.
Okay.
They got elders, they got everything in there, right?
Yeah.
When they raised his offering,
mm-hmm.
you watched everybody get up. Them mm-hmm. people was getting up with like 50s and 100s in their hands.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they understood that
yeah.
they had to take care of
yeah. Yeah.
the pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in your case. When you know they're not paying you a salary, especially in your case, when you know they're not paying you a salary. I know church and money is always it's
a
like
class.
A third rail.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's like a third rail when you start talking about money in the church.
Come on.
But
how did church stay open?
But
without
how you think, you know, the lights don't come on by miracle. Neither do the gas. The heat ain't on. Like, it's hot and it's warm in here right
yeah,
now.
But
it ain't
money.
On by a miracle,
yeah.
right? But then they say, okay. But they would rather, watch this now, they would rather see the church building be a certain way than the man of God that God sent be a certain way.
And I'm cool with that if you're going to pay your tithes to get what you're looking for.
Right.
But don't come and leave a tip. Instead of paying the bill.
Right. You don't like, watch this. You don't like the musician that we got, or you don't like the choir director, or you don't like this or that, but you won't pay your tithes and offers so we can get a better one.
And we got top notch right now.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm just saying. I'm just thinking this is the mind.
Absolutely.
This is the mindset. Oh, we, I wish we had a better choir.
Yeah.
I wish we had a better. Well, if everybody was paying their tithes and offering, we could get a better whatever, whatever. And I'm just talking Church Universal, so don't nobody email me, inbox me, so I'm talking about y'all's choir or y'all's minister of music. If you inbox me, I'm going to hurt your feelings on national radio. I'm telling you now. Don't do it. Because they good for trying to come back at me.
Yeah.
I get an inbox, 11 o'clock at night. You know what you said. Get off my...
They love the sideballs.
Right.
The sideballs.
Don't do it. Y'all know I ain't right. This 2020, I ain't going.
Hey, man, that's absolutely correct.
So, look, I just wanted to talk about that for a hot minute.
But
so,
I ain't gonna lie. I thank my members.
Yeah, no, you got
because
to.
Everybody was like, okay, this past offering. And when I was watching, you know, it wasn't even the fact of how much people give. It was the fact that I seen that they wanted to give.
Yeah, and that's,
so I was so thankful.
I was shocked this holiday season.
Uh-huh.
Because again, I've only been here. I was here a year in March,
mm-hmm.
right? A year in March. Only officially a member last May.
Okay.
Right. But I was here a year last March.
Uh-huh.
And I just talk about the treatment of people. This is one thing I've always said about Ebenezer people. One thing about Ebenezer people, even if they fight amongst themselves,
right,
they gonna show up for you.
No matter what.
No matter what,
that's,
right?
And that's church. That's
church.
A good congregation.
That's a good congregation.
Absolutely.
Every congregation is going to have flare-ups.
Yeah, it doesn't
right?
matter.
Right. But one of the things that impressed me, though, was how many people, which, you know, I knew nothing about, when it came right before Christmas, came up handing me cards with little tokens.
Amen.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then to get cards from people that barely even spoke to me.
Wow.
That kind of caught me off guard. Because I'm like, oh, wow, you know, and I said, you know what? I said, that's God. I said, because, again, you know, people could be like, oh, he don't need nothing. I know
yeah.
he don't need nothing.
Yeah.
I know that nigga don't need nothing. Because, you know, some people have in their mindset that, you know, people are rich, like rich.
I'll tell you this.
Don't you get them go to work every day?
Well. The 5 days that I go to my regular job.
Your regular job, I'm talking about.
The other stuff that I do.
I'm talking about your regular job.
That's 5 days a week.
For them people.
Yeah.
Right. You get work for them people.
Yeah.
Climbing them, doing them stuff
uh-huh.
and stuff. Right.
And then I got a side thing
right.
I have to do.
Every day.
And I'm trying to invest in stock to
every
have
day.
More income.
That's
coming
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Every day.
Right. So, I mean, you know, but people will take that and again, I think Shante put the word up there, as soon.
Absolutely. You're correct with that one.
As soon.
That's true.
That you don't need stuff, so they will not do things. But again, I know people say, oh, these preachers on there talking about money. There is nothing wrong with sowing a seed or planting a seed. Patricia says, people treat church like a country club. I pay my dues and tithes so I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
You right about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they do. They do. They do. They treat it like it's a country club. They absolutely do. Wow.
You're absolutely right about it.
Wow. Where we at? It's 8:02. Are we moving good? It's 8:02. It's 8:02. So what else been going on, man?
Oh, man.
How was Iowa? I saw your cousin got elected mayor. Or
he
got
is the mayor.
Got sworn in.
No, he was voted.
Right.
And sworn.
He was sworn. You went
at
for the
same time.
Right. Oh, so you, right. Okay, so you won. You went down there for that. Well, I should say up there or over there.
Well, next door.
It's over there. So
yeah.
That would be over there, not
yeah.
up. Right, over there.
So
what part of Iowa?
He's at the university in Iowa City.
Iowa City, Iowa.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
So the good thing about the way their thing is versus here,
mm-hmm.
here it is it's a public vote.
Okay.
There, it's a seated vote.
Oh.
So it's seven people, and all of them are counselors for the entire city of Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the seven,
mm.
and you have to win the majority vote by four.
Oh, okay.
So it was him and two other people running.
Okay.
The first time he ran, it was three votes him and
mm-hmm.
two to the other people. You can't win.
You can't win.
So you have to win
so,
by four.
So they're saying that's two-thirds majority.
Right.
Pretty much is what it is. Yeah.
So
okay.
the way he had to win was he had to win by four. He
yeah.
had to win 4-3.
4-3 or more. Right.
So they did the vote, and they was like, so what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was like, we keep voting until the winner wins.
Wow.
So they kept coming around, and then on the last one, he won 5-2.
I'm having flashbacks, but go ahead.
Yeah. So he ended up winning 5-2.
Wow.
And I'm so proud of him because
when I was there doing what I did, that wasn't right that I was doing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. When he, you know, he was working overnight at doing hospice.
Oh, wow.
So he was dealing with people that were actually in the same situation my wife was in.
Okay, wow, wow.
And now he owns his own service.
Wow, okay.
With all of these properties. He's retired. He's been retired since he was 43, which was last year. We turned 43 together.
Okay.
So he is retired. He also owns an adult and child daycare that will be opening up very soon.
Okay.
And now he's the mayor.
Sweet.
And when I say business,
mm-hmm.
he got that in his mind.
Okay.
That's so he good. Inspires me.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's good. And what's crazy is I can't wait till I run for alderman in about, you know, a few more.
Oh, what
out here by my house? I'm gonna run for the alderman.
Who's alderman right now?
I don't know, but I'm gonna get in all of because I'm running. I'm gonna run for it, and I'm trying to take it all the way to the mayor.
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, from one Harold to another. That's my slogan. Y'all get ready, man.
I ain't mad at you
because I believe that it takes the street to get to the street.
I ain't mad at you. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. All right, so that's good stuff, man.
Yes, sir.
We ain't gonna talk about that no more. Seriously, I don't want to talk about that no more because I want you
absolutely.
when you come out, I want just boom.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How was your 2020 healthy eating journey? Now you had already started in 19 though,
because I had been eating.
Because on the Kitchen Chronicles deal, you really cooking healthy on the. I ain't never seen you cook nothing unhealthy on the Kitchen Chronicles.
That's
deal.
All I really eat, but the thing that I put in between that is them cookies, donuts, potato chips, nachos.
All the good stuff.
All the stuff that's in between that is what get me.
The good stuff.
Yeah. It's all of that get me that's in between.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I got to cut it out. So we started our fast actually today.
Okay, y'all started today.
Yeah, so
okay.
I got members all on Facebook talking about Pastor, know he wrong.
Okay.
I ain't never did a fast, and now I can't eat no chicken.
You should invite them to join the group with us too.
I'm going to put them in there because we can
share.
Right.
Because they see it. Because we struggle. We ain't struggling as bad as I thought we would.
Right.
You know,
I'm gonna be fine.
And we're actually doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So I got on the scale for the first time Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Since we started. And hold on, where's the thing at? Who's struggling? No, I said we not struggling. I'm sorry. I corrected it.
Hey, she stay on top of it. I see you, Ty. I see
quick, didn't you? Man. I got on schedule. So instantly, and I tried to tell people this the other day when I went live. I think I went live, I think it was the second or third day to just to give people some encouragement, right? Because
yeah.
I know the first couple of days.
Yeah.
Is you know they're rough.
Uh-huh.
So I was just telling people, man, you know, to be encouraged or whatever, and especially the ladies, men lose weight quicker than you are.
Absolutely,
we will drop stomachs before y'all drop.
Absolutely,
a pound. We do. It's just automatically, right?
Yep.
So when I weighed myself maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, and when I was getting ready to see
Start.
What was gonna be what, right? So and I'm gonna post all this in the thing. But I weighed myself. I was either 220 or 219.
Okay.
Somewhere up in there, right?
Okay.
I hopped on the scale last week, Friday or Saturday, and it was at night too, 209, just that quick.
Yeah.
In 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because it's like it's going to fall off, right? And then when you add in the working out and the gym and all that, it's really going to – at some point you're going to plateau, right? But
yep.
then that's when you have to push harder on the workout side. This is without me working out at all.
Well, the one thing that's if because you know I done been six pack, big muscle, and all that when
uh-huh.
I came from jail.
Uh-huh.
I went to jail. I was 430 pounds.
430.
And when I came home, I was 260 pounds.
430. All I know about 430 was it sounded like time to eat.
Yeah. So when I came home, man,
right.
I was a totally different person.
Okay.
And the one thing that I can tell people, if you want to lose weight and keep it off, it's
mm-hmm.
all in how you eat.
Wow. Okay.
You can't eat burgers and fries,
not
fried chicken and potato chips
not
all the
every day
and think that your body is going to. No, if you ate that, this is how you have to look at it. You know how you try to eat healthy and you eat healthy that one day, but you've had 6 days of bad eating.
Yeah.
If you flip that around and
you're
eat
good.
Six good days
yep.
and have one day of bad eating, it does not hurt your body.
You're good.
But the more toxic stuff we take on, it turns itself into fat to keep from killing us fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it kills us over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went, my mind right now has just been reconverted to going back to how I used to eat when I was in jail. Oatmeal in the morning, a lot of water throughout the day, you know, salad and meat at night. Because you can always eat on the salad bar in
yeah.
the penitentiary. The salad bar is always going to have salad, peaches.
Well,
I'm just saying, man.
I ain't trying to be funny, but where was you in jail?
In the
y'all had a salad bar?
No, you always got to have a salad bar in all the jails.
Really?
Because everybody don't eat meat.
I guess you're right.
So they always got the salad up there with the shredded carrots. They always got Italian dressing, ranch dressing,
okay.
and the French.
Okay, so you just went back to okay.
Right. You
I
know,
got
I'm just going back to how normally we eat. So when you take beef out of your diet, you take
yes.
pork out of your diet, and you take the fried chicken, which are the three things that they are shooting all the poisons in order to keep it fresh long enough to get it from being killed all the way to the freezer, to your freezer, to your skillet. They pump it with all the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Like the chicken breast, they pump up with nitrous.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you take any of that and put it in your body, it turns cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to detox our body from a lot of this stuff so we can stop having all these aches and pains and everything else we got.
Yeah, it's I have not felt, and this is what's interesting. I was telling LaTanya yesterday. I said, I don't think I've had a bad headache. Last time when we did the 21 day challenge,
uh-huh.
when we had the 21 day challenge, I had I immediately had withdrawal headache from
okay.
all the sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause people don't know about that sugar.
Yeah. I had withdrawal headache immediately from all the sugar. This time it didn't happen because I was already weaning myself off ahead of time.
Okay.
Like I started preparing.
Okay.
Ahead of time.
Okay. Cause
the last time when I got home that Sunday night, it was a 2 liter Cherry Pepsi and a half a bottle of Simply Lemonade in the fridge. And I said, I'm drinking it all.
Trying to hurry up and get it in.
So it wouldn't be left in there. So I wouldn't be tempted. Yeah.
That sounds like the house I was at today. Out of all the days in the world, most of the days you don't really get people that give you care packages.
Right.
I walk in the house. She pulling
uh-huh.
two banana cakes straight out the oven, piping hot, got the whole house smelling so good.
Yeah.
She'd have made fresh cookies
yeah.
and fresh chocolate.
See.
And I'm looking like, oh, my God, ain't they going to make me a bag to go
See.
And tell me God bless you. And I'm
See.
Like, the devil is a lie.
Yeah. I just shared that with the people here on Monday because Thursday. I shared it with the people on Friday because one of my Bible study students baked me a whole cake.
Wow.
And handed it to me. And it was still warm.
Wow.
Wrapped in foil. And I didn't even look at it. I just handed it. I told her thank you. And I handed it off. And then the devil, of course, brought it down to me to show me what it looked like. The devil in the church. In the whole church. Brought it down to show me what it looked like.
So I left the stuff in my truck to put in the glove box. I'm going to end up taking the cookies and stick them in the freezer. So after the fast's over, I get to taste them. Because she made all that stuff.
I guess
fresh.
I could have froze the cake.
Yeah.
Because the cake was, I mean, it was.
I thought she was going to give me a whole banana cake.
Man,
I was going to freeze that.
And the cake had pecans and everything. And
yeah.
I said, good.
Yeah.
Lord. Anyway, we want to make sure you guys are on this journey with us. You know, of course, I'm calling it my journey to 50.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm calling it because I'm just, you know, want to get myself right physically. Right, so it's not just that we're not calling it. See, look, see, that's one of them devils at the bottom down there. See that? See
it was good with Pete's hand. That's how you do it, huh?
I tell you about these ain'ts. I ain't saints. That's these ain'ts in the church.
Wow.
But you know, we're not really calling ours a fast, right? Because even though we are. Sending out what we do, we provide, and I'm sure you've seen we provided some scriptures in the morning, some words of scriptures.
We're doing it too.
Because if you're fasting, you got to
have
that, right? We're not calling it that, but you know, people can call it what you want. Hey,
right.
Daniel fast. We took stuff from a little bit of everybody.
Absolutely.
Stuff, man. But again, we just want people to be healthy. I've seen, and you have too, over the last 2-3 years, folks, young folk leaving here
from sickness and disease.
Leaving here.
Yeah.
Right? And again, what's going to happen? But you know what?
We got some loss prevention stuff that we can do.
If it happened, if something negative happens to me physically, at least I'll be strong when it hit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I won't be weak when it hit.
Right.
And then it takes me out of here sooner than it's supposed to.
Because I ain't got nothing to fight with. Absolutely. So faith, works, and vision, we're going to get through this couple weeks.
Right. And TTLO with y'all.
Yeah.
We with y'all. We look.
I still let them have shrimp. Lobster, crab, fish.
Right. We can do seafood during
right.
this first week.
Absolutely.
We did not discount seafood. And then I know I have a couple of people who cannot eat seafood.
Hey, I got
so for those people, we told them they could do the grilled chicken or whatever we had to. Because,
right.
I mean, they have to have something.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, man, this thing, man, these smoothies in the morning have been blessing my spirit.
Yeah.
I had a smoothie yesterday afternoon. After I left here, because we went to went to a banquet yesterday, right? For the global girls, the lady
okay.
that did the
yep,
dance
yep,
stuff,
yep, yep.
They had a 20-year banquet, so of course they served food. And so I'm sitting there, and I look over, and Tiny gonna look around at the table and be like, "Guess we finna get this good salad." that's all that was up there. That's all we could eat.
Don't feel bad.
I mean, they had a spread too. That's all we could eat, and then they was rationing out the salad.
I got 2 weekends.
Uh huh.
Of spread.
See,
this weekend is our first family weekend.
Oh Lord!
And next weekend is a housewarming party
yeah.
with my cousin. And I'm finna be over there mad.
Well, we did good at the bowling alley. At the bowling alley, because bowling alley is the real test. Because you know everybody and their mom, and then our teammates looking at us real strange. Because they like y'all. Y'all up in here. What's this healthy eat? What you doing eating? When you get salad? And we getting this fried chicken,
really?
Y'all ain't going to be supportive at all?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit much. Anyway, look, I want to read this quick post that somebody sent me, and I shared it
okay.
earlier. And I want to read it to you. I want to read this to the people real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll move on to the article. The post says this. It says the post is from this guy. He's somebody who follows somebody else somebody else follows him because I'm not friends with the guy. And anyway, he shared the post and my buddy Andre shared the post. So I said, you know, I'm going to share this post. This is what it says. It says, this is what, on the post, first of all, there's a picture of two women, obviously LGBTQ,
yeah.
raising their boy, black son, two black women, African-American child.
Yep.
Right. And it's entitled, "This is What America Wants." And the writer says this. He says, they want black men in jail, no reproduction. They want black men gay, no reproduction. They want us dead, no reproduction.
Hmm.
They want black women gay, no reproduction. They want us to abort our babies, no reproduction. They want us on the pill from age 18 to 30, which pretty much in some cases ruins
the womb.
No reproduction. That's
mm-hmm.
now 6 days. They want us to eat food with estrogen byproducts. Decreased testosterone, decreases sperm count, no reproduction.
Yeah.
They want women putting their career first until they're 30, decreased or no reproduction.
Yep.
They want us so poor, we would decide not to have as many kids as our parents did, decreased or no reproduction. If you can't see the agenda to wipe us out, I don't know what else to tell you. I see this a lot now. Nowadays, black girls in high school have already been with a woman. That for many opens up a Pandora's box or a confused sexuality.
Fact.
I posted it because I agreed with it 115,000%.
It is fact.
Yeah.
Now, there's a flip side.
Come on.
To
Go ahead.
The homosexuality.
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason why I'm gonna say this, and for the, maybe some people on here know, or maybe they don't. My cousin.
Mm-hmm.
The one I just went down to, the one that just became mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is my favorite cousin,
mm-hmm.
and he's gay.
Mm, okay, okay.
And he's about to get married.
Oh God. Okay, got it.
And I'm a pastor. We had our conversation,
mm-hmm.
and the last thing that I told him
mm-hmm.
was, I can't judge you
mm-hmm.
because that's not my job.
Right.
I have to love you for who you are
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say nothing else about nothing. Now, his friend,
mm-hmm.
I love him too because he's a cool guy.
Okay.
The one thing I had to learn is that can't nobody point fingers.
Yeah.
But there is a hidden agenda in this.
Absolutely.
That ain't mine.
Mine either.
there is a hidden agenda in this.
Uh-huh.
Because the stuff that they're doing now, they're promoting.
Yes.
His situation was
yes.
a promotion.
Yes. Yes. No, there has been, and then Zachary, who's a friend of the show, Zachary's first response was, he says, I saw this agenda 20 years ago. This is just the beginning. And he came.
Actually, it was a little bit before
and he
that.
Came out of that lifestyle. So
yeah.
he knows firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
It's about, yeah.
It,
but,
it was, it actually, if you really pay attention to it.
Yeah.
It started in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
Absolutely.
Did.
But again, I saw this and I go, wow. And then it took me back to, I told you all, I shared this with you all. Yeah, that ain't you. Because I know it ain't me. Yours sound different.
Yeah.
Yeah, because mine.
I just
yeah,
had to hit
yeah.
the horn just to be sure.
Yeah, that's yeah. yeah. I know it wasn't me. We ain't here playing with the
yeah,
alarms.
Yeah, because the alarm is going off. And I'm trying to make sure it ain't mine. He making sure it ain't his.
Right, right. One of the things that I remember when school started this year and they started talking about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how much I felt uncomfortable with it because they started talking about identity and started talking about which bathrooms
oh,
the
yeah.
kids could go to
yeah.
and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And don't say boys and girls line anymore. Just say line one and line two. You know, and little simple stuff like that.
Right.
And it's that agenda because it's one thing to push your agenda.
Absolutely.
Right? It's another thing in pushing your agenda, and then it forces me, or then you judge me because I don't agree with your agenda, and then to try to equate it with the plight of African Americans
yeah.
with minorities.
Right.
That's always bothered me.
Absolutely.
Because it's not the same, right? You were not. We were brought here not by choice,
but by force.
By force,
absolutely.
Right? You and I know people gonna say about the whole choice. You're making a decision to live this way.
That's a fact.
You're making a decision to live this way
because that becomes your lifestyle. Slavery wasn't a lifestyle.
That's like saying I'm going to start. That's like saying I want to start a nudist colony in Chicago. In Chicago.
Right.
And because I want to start a nudist colony in Chicago, y'all, the rest of y'all in Chicago, need to build some stuff so I can walk around naked in this weather. Y'all need to build a dome so that me and my crew, that's how crazy it sounds, me and the naked crew
can walk around
can
naked
be together
in the cold.
Naked in the cold.
Right.
And y'all need to be okay with it. It's like when you go to Jamaica or you go to Mexico.
Yeah.
They have nude beaches.
But
you make the choice to go.
To go to the nude beach.
Now,
but it ain't the whole beach.
It ain't the whole beach.
Right.
Right?
Right. Fact.
I'm just saying. I ain't trying to start.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
It's fact.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it's the fact that we were more concerned with embracing each other in that pic instead of the child was stirring by itself. Well, that's a whole nother issue. Well, the article, the writer Felicia of the article did say that's what it is because the child,
right?
Because you know it's like, are you really giving the child? If the child grows up and says, "Well, I now have to be with a guy because my mama married
a woman," yeah, it becomes
you're training the child without training the child,
right? It becomes a train of thought, but. Let's take it even deeper.
Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What happened in the schools?
Come on, Marcus Brady said slavery wasn't a lifestyle. Yeah. Come on now.
Because he quoting what I said.
I know. Come on.
It wasn't a lifestyle because it was forced on.
It was right.
So
right.
That's not a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Lifestyle is what you choose.
Right.
So
slavery was, watch this, was the white folks' way of life.
That was their way of life.
That was their lifestyle.
Upon us.
Right. Exactly. Come on. Go ahead.
So the schools...
Yeah.
And it's so strange. You cannot pray in school.
Oh my God.
Neither can you say thank you, Jesus, in school.
Can't say Merry Christmas, bro.
Anything that has to do with the creator of all things, you have to exclude.
Yeah.
Me, I would already been fired.
It's hard.
Because I tell folks when I call their phone to tell them I'm on the way to the house,
mm-hmm.
God bless you, I'll see you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I leave out the door shaking your hand. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't talk about my Jesus, the same man that saved me,
mm-hmm.
we ain't talking about the blue-eyed one. We talking mm-hmm. about the dark-skinned one with the wool hair.
Hold that thought, because Sharon, I'm going to type it to you. But no, the first month, we're not doing any poultry, no turkey. We can do fish and seafood,
right.
Yes. No lamb. Lamb is red meat.
Absolutely.
No lamb. I love lamb.
Nothing red.
Not this first month.
Nothing red.
Not the red meat.
Not
right.
pork either.
No pork either.
The other right meat.
Because I love a pork chop. What about shaw? Almost went in. Huh? Promise you I'm going to Jewtown in February. I'm sorry. Maxwell Street. I don't want to offend nobody. Promise I'm going down there in February. Give me a pork chop sandwich and a chicken sandwich with extra onions and mustard. Y'all don't hear me preaching now. Y'all don't hear me. Can't say. No, you can't. I can't say.
Can't say Merry Christmas.
They put up a tree in the school.
Uh-huh.
And it was called, what did they have to call it? Mind you, it was a Christmas tree. But we had to call it a pine tree. Or some other kind of tree. But we could not say Christmas tree. Even though everybody in mama knew it was a Christmas tree.
My whole thing is, I wouldn't put a tree up, period.
But I get what you're saying
right,
on that part.
You know me.
But I'm just saying,
but
you're going to tempt me
to say it, not to say it.
Right.
They'll crumb a tree.
With a tree.
Right.
So you just call it the pine tree.
What you even put it up for?
Or the giving tree. That was the name they called it. I think what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all need to give Jesus back his spot, man. That's what y'all need to do.
Come on through, sir.
Y'all need to give Jesus back his spot.
Come through.
Talking about you can't pray in the school. They used to do the I Pledge Allegiance every morning.
And they took that out.
And then the prayer.
Right.
And now you can't do none of that.
Is the pledge gone in Chicago public schools?
Yeah.
Right. It is gone.
And the thing that killed me with it all is, why you take out Jesus? Jesus ain't had nothing to do with the flag.
Well, I put the under God, indivisible. Yeah, under God. They took that. That's why.
But we talking about Jesus.
But under God. They didn't have a problem with under God.
Well, I hate to see the people that made this happen
uh-huh.
when they got to see Jesus.
Right, under God. Because guess what? You going to be under God.
Yeah,
right.
You absolutely going to be under.
Under.
God. And you made it look, you just won't be able to go.
Under God. That's right. But you know what's funny? The same people that tell you what you can't say at school, sneeze. And watch, they say, God bless you.
Don't they do it?
Or they say, I'm sorry, bless you. Maybe they just say, bless you.
Now they say, bless you.
But yeah.
But who? You done took all the G's and God out of everything.
I wish they would say, bless you. Who? That's my response. Who? No, I said, bless you. Who?
Who? Yeah, right.
Who you saying to bless me? That's what I want to know. You know I'm going to ask the question.
Right.
I'm going to have another 750 meeting if I keep it up. I'm going to have a 750 meeting if I keep it up. I'm going to let somebody sneeze. Bless you.
Who?
I'm going to ask the question. Who you trying to bless me? Don't tell me the universe.
Right.
Or Venus or
right.
the tree god or somebody. You know?
Right.
God bless. Okay.
That's who blessed me then.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know we go off on some tangents.
Hey, man.
Right?
Y'all already know. Get ready for it.
It's just what we do.
Absolutely.
Look. Tanya said, please don't. Don't ask me how my weekend was. I tell people, because yesterday my weekend, I was like, oh, it was awesome.
Absolutely.
Praise
awesome
the Lord. It was a wonderful time.
Yes, indeed.
You did what? You praised the Lord. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I praised the Lord. Yeah, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Huh?
All the time.
Look, y'all, we got this really good article. Tanya, what time is it? Oh, yeah, we're going to get this out. Yeah, we're going to knock this out. We got this really good article, simply entitled, What Will You Chase in 2020? Did I pull it up over there? I did not. So we're going to take the break. I'm going to get it up for you when we
okay.
Yeah, because it ain't up over here either.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. But we'll get it up. Look out, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. What will you chase in 2020, and then we're going to respond to some of y'all stuff that we might have missed on
yeah,
the Facebook.
I was looking at a lot of markers on there, all of them.
Yeah, everybody on here,
yeah.
Man, so we're going to go there.
Felicia had a good one up top, too, I had seen, just a little bit before Marcus.
The one about the politically correct?
No, she had one that was there it is right there. The fact that there were more connects.
I read that one,
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, y'all, we're going to jump into some more conversation, y'all. Stay tuned, man. TTLO. I'm going to leave y'all with some of this. Let's see. What are we going to do? I got some. You know what? If I had, you know,
you can put Kirk Franklin on for me. I'm
Do kidding. I got some Kirk on here?
Yeah.
I
don't
want
to
love
on
nobody.
Cause you know,
that's
my joint right there.
Do
man.
We have Love Theory on here? I do have.
Yeah,
Love Theory, ain't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Love Theory. Where is it at, though?
Yeah, we had bumped that a couple times.
Where is that, though? Kirk Franklin, Devil Wars. Where are the songs at? I need to add some new songs, though. I do need to add some more music.
Yeah, you got some of the heaters like I got, man.
Man, I need to put
some heaters
up. It's just the work, let alone this music. It's work. What happened to the Kirk Franklin? Is it Love? No, is it, ain't that some song?
The Love Theory. Yeah,
Love It's
Theory.
Called Love Theory,
yeah.
right? I don't even see it on here no more. I know I played it.
Yeah, we had it, what was that, right around?
Time you delete my music?
Thanksgiving.
I'm going to get yelled at for blaming her. Tanya, you delete the music? All right, look, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give you some Kirk, though.
All right.
We're just going to have to go back, though. I'm going to give you some old school Kirk.
That's even better.
Give you some old school Kirk. Oh, that is not it.
That ain't the right Kirk. That ain't the right Kirk right now.
I said Brian. Wait a minute. I saw Brian today.